Blog Talk Radio.
Like a gypsy.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Join us early on Mondays at 7 p.m., for Keeping It Brief, then come back later that evening for Luyu and her Garden of Entertainment and Front Page Picks. Join us Tuesday for Twisted Tuesdays, and on Wednesday with The Art of Sensuality. Thursdays are split between Inner Craft of Stone Arts with Pam and Double Helix with Faziana and Dan. Friday, and Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. Saturday is split with Gray Eyes and Dow, Howling at the Moon in the Northern Climes, and Exploring Ekphrasia with Captain V2 and Gray. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Saturday morning, and Take a Walk on the Wild Side Tuesday. Friday is a split between Echoes in the Dark with Pam and Break On Through, and Sit In with Aphasiana and Babla on Saturday as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Check out the contest at Prompts for all of our shows, poems to read your poems, hang for the fun, and if you can produce a SoundCloud for us, please let us attach that to your poems, because we'd love to hear you read your own words. Pam?
Good evening, Rex. How goes it?
Oh, I see. What's going on?
Oh, you know what? I say all in all, life is good. Got a bit of a head cold now, but that's all right with me because, you know, I got the hot tea. I got a warm room. I got my fuzzy socks on. I've got an amazing lineup of poetry and music for tonight. You know, I'm just looking forward to it. Looking forward to hanging out with you and other cool poets. And, yep. Like I always say, life is good. What's up with you?
Not much. Sunny and cold.
Same.
That's about it.
Yes. Yes. It's
and
cold.
And finally getting to this show 4 weeks late.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thankful we're finally getting around to this show after, what, like a month?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was the first show that went bluey when Blog Talk decided to take December off.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, so it's all good now. And finally we get to hear people's poetry inspired by Peter Gabriel. And, of course, we are going to want to have you tell us about tonight's topic. But before you do that, I'm going to go ahead and bring Naomi on. So hello, Naomi. How's it going?
Hello, Pam and Rex. It's going good. Glad
hello.
To be with you guys.
Beautiful.
Hello. Snowstorm here. Snowing. Can't see a thing outside the window.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Still snowing. Yeah.
Well,
you know the kind
you're
of snow
in your house anywhere.
No. You know the kind of snow when you have the screens, you know, on the windows or on the patio doors, and the screen is all full of snow, so you can't even see outside. Well, that's what it looks like.
Oh wow!
Just white. But yeah, hopefully
Crazy
tomorrow morning will be cleared up. Yeah.
Yep.
That's
so
just see the UFOs have landed.
So, well, Rex, tell
I guess
us about Peter Gabriel.
Well, I think we should get to the first two pieces because that's for that song by Greg Allman that we just heard the opening for.
Oh, sure. Sure, absolutely. We can do that. All right. Well, Naomi, we're going to start the night out with your poem. So go ahead and give it in for us, please.
Oh, wow. Hey. This is called Mileage. And I didn't realize. Sorry, that was by Brother Allen Group. Is that it, Allen Group, or Allen something?
Greg
Allman. Yeah, I thought it. I didn't realize it was. This is called Mileage. I have often thought the young are the sailing boats, the aging are the anchors. Transforming from one to the other somewhere in the middle age. The years come bringing the wisdom of the mother, the strength of the grandmother, letting love flow to the young, our learning guide, being their guide when they seek it. And I let myself be the good arms they fall into, the shoulder they seek solace in, and the heart that is always open and warm. But down deep, these are just wrinkles over a soul. A part of me has never aged a day, for my eyes still dance even though the legs may struggle to keep up, and every dream still plays on. And the music still beats, moving me as much as it ever did. And I love, oh how I love just as fiercely as anyone of younger years. So look past this skin that tells of no more than mileage on this shiny red vintage Coronet RT convertible. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what do you got?
Oh, this is absolutely wonderful, Naomi. I really like this. I like how the opening lines are just so spot on. I have often thought the young are the sailing boats, the aging are their anchors, transforming one to the other somewhere in the middle age. I thought those were great opening lines, reminding us on the what can be learned from those older than us. But then you go into the tone of reminding everyone that, yeah, you know, the hair might get a little grayer, you know, the skin might get some more lines on it, you know, the body might start to slow down and ache a bit, but underneath all of that is the same youthful spirit that has always been there, and that we shouldn't judge someone based on the surface, but must remember that when it comes to loving, when it comes to passion, when it comes to following our dreams, there is beneath that a spirit that is still wild and free and just feels everything deeply. Wonderful lines all the way through. And besides the beginning, I also really like, and the music still beats, moving me as much as it ever did. And I love, oh, how I love just as fiercely as anyone of younger years. Amen to that, my sister. Amen to that. Very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Nice, Pam. That opening stanza was cool, and it started from the young gang sailing boats, the aging, the anchors, and transforming one to the other somewhere in middle age. That was a nice touch to the thought writer. I like that. And the bite down the back end, the last two stanzas. And the music still beats, moving me as much as it ever did. I love, oh, how I love just as fiercely as anyone of young years. So look past this skin that tells of no more than mileage on the shining red vintage Coronet RT convertible. I got that note of Born to Be Wild from back in the day. And that's a sweet picture.
Sweet car, right? Yeah, 1969. Yeah. Dodge, made by Dodge. Yeah.
Yep.
Road and track, power brakes. Sweet car.
Oh, that's a screamer back in the day. Yes, it is. Thank you, Naomi.
Welcome. Oh, Cam. Thank you, Rex.
You're welcome. All right, Pam, we got one more for this one, and then we got Peter coming up.
Yep. Yes, we do, and that is Old Before My Time by Randy G. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read for us, please.
Old Before My Time by Randy G. Looking back down the road of life day by day, battles won despite the cost all along the way. The countless lives I've touched and I left to cry just leaves me feeling so cold as I prepare to die. Living without rules, I had the world at my feet. Full of confidence, I felt no need to be discreet. I take the easy way on someone else's dime. A shallow life has made me old before my time. Seems I lived a lifetime just acting out my parts, and like Dorothy's Tin Man, I didn't have a heart. So aimlessly I wandered, searching for a dream, only to find things ain't never what they seem. Like a rebellious child, didn't do as I was told. I chased after rainbows and their pots of gold. Now I am left empty for my shameless crimes. Their weight has made me old before my time. Hidden guilt has made me old before my time. And poem. Naomi, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, wow, I really like this by Randy G. You know, I loved it all the way through, but I love the depth that he goes into, and you know, the weight that you feel when he gets into scenes. I have lived a lifetime just acting out my part, and like Dorothy's Tin Man, I didn't have a heart. So aimlessly I wandered searching for a dream only to find things ain't never what they seem. You know, there's a weight that you feel on the shoulders of this character here in this poem. And, you know, it's the result of maybe doing things, living your life without heart, without giving completely into what you're doing, or you know, taking things too lightly, being not enough passionate maybe about stuff, and living your life like halfway. That's what I got out of it. And you know, in the end, aging before your time because of it, because you're not living to your full potential, your full, you're not putting your full heart into your life. And that's what I got out of it. But excellent read. I chased after rainbows and their pots of gold. Now I'm left empty for my shameless crimes. Their weight has made me old before my time. Just wonderfully well written and well composed poetry here by Randy G.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. All right, Pam, what about you?
Yeah, this is, again, another amazing rhyming poem by Randy. A great song for him to choose to write to. I really like how this makes me think of that saying that you're free to choose, but you're not free from the consequences of your choices. I like how this takes a first-person narrative look at someone who looks back at their life with regrets and the life choices that they made that destroyed both body and mind. And there's great lines all the way through, but I really like living without rules. I had the world at my feet, full of confidence. I felt no need to be discreet. I take the easy way on someone's dime. A shallow life has made me old before my time. And all the way through, though, amazing lines. I also like the reference to Dorothy's Tin Man. Seems I lived a lifetime just acting out my part, and like Dorothy's Tin Man, I didn't have a heart. And, you know, in the end, it all just comes and bites you on the ass. So amazing write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. I think this unfolds real easy, but it's that last stanza which holds the whole great of the thoughts going through. Like a rebellious child, didn't do as I was told. I chased after rainbows and their pots of gold. Now I'm left empty for my shameless crimes. Their weight has made me old before my time. Hidden guilt has made me old before my time. Last two lines holding a lot more depth into the feeling, because at this point, he's understanding the truths of life and the consequences that come with them when you walk a particular angle where nothing else matters except yourself in the moment. And well, unfortunately, you find that out as you get to sit and contemplate life on the back end of things. So nicely done, Randy. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Well, you know what time it is now, Rex. It's Peter Gabriel time. Before we dive into that, was there anything that you wanted to tell us about Peter Gabriel?
Well, he was born in 1950 in Chob, I'm sorry. He had first gotten the band together, I think it was 15 years old. And by the time, with a few other fellows from Charterhouse, the school he was in, secondary school, and they include Tony Banks, Mike Rutherford, himself, and two other fellows, Anthony Phillips. And they got the name for the band. They went through a number of names, and no. And someone else who was there with them at the time, I think Jonathan King, suggested Genesis as their note for the name of the band. And that was born in 1967. They recorded a few tunes and made that first album in 68. He ran through 1975 with Genesis. Then he went on solo, because Peter was always, he was kind of like Bowie back in the day. He liked his stage presence and offering up acts and all just on stage. So by the time 75 came around, he was ready to move on, and he opened up his solo career. And from there, he did quite well. I mean, you look at who else came out of the bag, that band, Mike Rutherford, Mike and the Mechanics. And after Gabriel left, Phil Collins ended up being the front man as the singer. So he had a great career too. And I think his first hit was Salisbury Hill, coming out the gate. And he's been playing ever since. In fact, he did the IO tour last year. So he's still playing.
Oh, wow. A long and prosperous career, that's for sure. Just some amazing music. And, yeah, definitely he has a presence about him. So very cool info there. All right, and that was a great lead-in, because it just so happens that our first Peter Gabriel song we're going to play is Salisbury Hill. So here we go. Thank you.
Nice.
All right. Coolio song. And to go with that, first we have Salisbury Hill by T. Perry, 898. Fly me to the roof of heaven, perch me on the highest high, let me feast on golden splendor, soaring gently through the sky. Tempt me not with earthly virtue, life is tending a review. Keep my old things, I don't need them, for I'm starting life anew. There shall be no pain or hardship. Freedom bears a happy face. One can take no greater treasure than the gift of love and grace. New horizons are a calling. All is gentle, quiet, and still. Peter tapped me on the shoulder on the top of Salisbury Hill. End poem.
Great read. Yeah, thank you very much. And Naomi, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I really like this. You know, the ending, Peter tapped me on the shoulder on the top of Salisbury Hill. I love the idea that music can take you away. I just got that sense, you know, we just listened to the song and now we're reading this beautiful poem. And, you know, I'm just like soaring in my head right now. And, you know, this is where it's taking me, this poetry with this accompanied with the song, you know, fly me to the roof of heaven, perch me on the highest high. It's like where you go when that music is so great, you know, it just takes you away and, you know, you're free of, you know, you can be free of everything. You can go where you want. Music has that power to do that to you. I know there's a lot of other things in this poem, you know, just like soaring, you know, above the earth, you know, without just being free. But, you know, I get the idea that the song, you know, inspired here, and I like to think that anyway, and that it caused him to soar. So beautifully, beautifully written by T. Perry here.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I thought this was just absolutely, absolutely beautiful. I like what Naomi had to say about, you know, how music can make the spirit soar. I, too, was drawn to that part, Peter tapped me on the shoulder on the top of Salisbury Hill, because to me it was such great duplicity and wordplay, or duality and wordplay, in that, you know, it's a reference to Peter Gabriel, but it can also be a reference to Saint Peter. And the idea of leaving our earthly bounds, soaring beyond the earthly bounds, to our way to heaven, and leaving behind the pain and the hardship, and knowing that whatever physical treasures we build up here on earth, we will not take with us. And this is an amazing rhyming poem all the way through. But I especially like, tempt me not with earthly virtue, life is tending a review. And then one can take no greater treasure than the gift of love and grace. And those are such beautiful emotive lines, and a wonderful reminder that we take nothing physical with us. So very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pip. T gets the general meaning from the song itself. Gabriel offered up, it's about being prepared to lose what you have for what you might get. It's about letting go. So that's exactly what T has put into this. And it walks that note of, you can't take stuff with you, so you got to be prepared to let go of the, as he hits it, got to let go of pain and hardship. Freedom bears a happy face. One can take no greater treasure than the gift of love and grace. So it's offering up, hey, you came into this world as clean and free of baggage, you're supposed to go out the same way. So that's a nice touch. I like that. And dropping those last two lines pays homage to Gabriel's thoughts on this, because back then, I think 74, 75, Genesis was just getting going as being well known, and he left that all behind to take that big chance moving into a solo career. So nicely done, T. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Well, up next we have A Postcard from Salisbury Hill by Dark Knight of the Soul. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. Dark Knight of the Soul, A Postcard from Salisbury Hill. A December day, 1982, I got a card from Salisbury Hill. Heart went boom, boom, boom. Winter blowing, time stood still. I scribbled few words of remember when, a quick recap of the past 6 months, nonchalant and breezy lines from one who tied my heart in knots. Postcard shared her New Orleans lights, read at my mailbox on Ontario's plain, snow boots thread worn and frayed, waiting for snow to turn to rain. She was something to observe, father warned, be careful, son. I still had to learn young hearts will bleed. She was a snowstorm, wild and free. She bent the light to make her shine, and I believed the magic power turning water into wine. Friends shapeshift to something finer. She left memories and mixed tapes. Returns to me when Salisbury Hill plays. Heart goes boom, 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 reliving a bowdy smile, a blooming face. Her illusion spun a net. She was written never mine to gain. Her card slipped in a box named Linda as December snow turned into rain. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you kick it off.
All right. This is wonderful. First of all, I like the title because there's something very nostalgic about a postcard. You know, it's just not something that's really done anymore. It's like the old-fashioned, like, handwritten letter. I thought this had beautiful imagery, wonderful nostalgic lines on remembering a friend who left a colorful impression on the heart. I also like how it speaks on life's lessons learned, you know, lessons learned about love and life. Really great imagery and lines all the way through. But I especially like postcard shared her New Orleans lights, read at my mailbox on Ontario's plain, snow boots, thread worn and frayed, waiting for snow to return to rain. She was something to observe, father warned, be careful, son. I still had to learn, young hearts will bleed. She was a snowstorm, wild and free. You know, sometimes in the youthful abandonment of love, we can't see the truth when we can only learn our lessons after being hurt, and the understanding that some things and some people cannot be held on to. Amazing write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Naomi, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I really agree with what Pam said. You know, there's a such a nostalgic feel to this whole write. You know, this girl comes along and well, this girl, she's, you know, she's that he knew for some time and writes back to him. And, you know, he describes her so well with the metaphors. She bent the light to make her shine. And I believed in magic power, turning water into wine. Friends shapeshift to something finer. And I love that, you know, turning water into wine and then shaping the friendship into something finer, which would be, you know, like a love story. So I love, you know, the way that he wrote that. It's just amazing lines. And then she left memories and mixtapes returns to me when Salisbury Hill plays. This sounds so like authentic, as if it just poured out of Doug. And, you know, he's remembering all this while writing and remembering this girl. And it just sounds so real and raw and authentic. There's something about it that I really, really like. So wonderfully done, you know, Dark Night of the Soul, Doug.
Thank you, Naomi. There is a touch of nostalgia here and a little old lang syne, maybe a touch of regret in not being as wild and carefree as she was. Kind of hits that note of the want was exceeded by her need, and that was to be wild and free. So then, because he hits on that, the thought of a Salisbury Hill up top, and then New Orleans, and then the thought of magic power, because it still hits him with those memories of what if I had been that that kind of carefree and wild in the moment? Where might it have led? Would I have been there on Salisbury Hill and New Orleans and such, just to make that adventure and see where it led? Nicely done there, Dark. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Next? Well, I was just sitting here thinking how this next song coming up makes me think how Peter Gabriel had some of the all-time, like, grooviest and fun music videos ever. They were just so awesome and trippy to watch. But anyways, I digress, and the next song we're going to play is Big Time by Peter Gabriel, and here we go.
Hi there. I'm on my way, I'm making it.
Make it show, yeah.
groovy song here. With an unexpected note at the end. All right. The first poem we have inspired by that is To the Top by RLJ Zhao RJ. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
To the Top by RLJ. I've made it to the top, nonstop like a rocket, with a whole bunch of money in my pockets. Money to spend to guide my destiny to a win, so that I can grin rather than me frown with no sound of love breathing in my heart. Because love has to breathe to delete all dirty baggage from my presence, because the big time is my new residence, a residence that has a pretty scent like those pretty smelling romantic incenses. So I shall romance on my climb to the top, so that can't no tragedy to ever be allowed to dance in my heart, to cause a very serious disaster to ever win. Besides, my heart has love for a friend that's sending me much love to my heart, defend my destiny to the top against anybody with a fart personality, a very beautiful reality that has a very large salary to celebrate a win with. End poem. All right, Pam.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you think?
That part about a destiny to the top against anybody with a fart personality, oh, that was great. In other words, if your personality stinks, I don't want anything to do with you. Clever lines. Great read, Rex. Wonderful imagery, clever lines, an excellent write on the hope that goals can be achieved without roadblocks in the way, personal goals, romantic goals, and that idea also of the baggage that we unnecessarily carry with us as we try to achieve those goals. I did like that one line at the end, but I also liked, because love has to breathe to delete all dirty baggage from my presence, because the big time is my new residence, a residence that has a pretty scant, like those pretty smelling romantic incenses. So I shall romance on my climb to the top so that can't no tragedies ever be allowed to dance in my heart. We all hope that as we go through life, we'll have any tragedies. Sadly, though, that is not often the truth of it all. It's more likely that we will all run into some sort of tragedy, some sort of serious disaster, and hopefully we'll learn from them along the way. So great write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Naomi?
Yeah, me too. I had a laugh at that fart personality. It's like as if I don't know. My son is writing here. I just see him writing something like this. He's made his way to the top with a lot of money in his bag, and he doesn't put up with any bullshit. My son Samuel, oh my gracious, he's 29 and he's already like the top of, in a bank here, the major bank in Quebec. Back here and Canada, a national bank, and this mentality, this it's just him. I just see him, and he doesn't put up with anybody who has negativity around him. And of course he's still young, and like you said, Pam, he's gonna crash someday. I hope he doesn't crash too big, but he will come down to earth someday. But for the time being, like this person, like this poem, they're floating with money in their pockets, and they don't have any roadblocks. They're just floating over to heaven or something, and they're just they're just enjoying the ride. So great write by this poet here, which is a new name to me. So wonderful write.
Yep. or else in the last few weeks we've been catching a couple of his pieces. So, yes, I think this is the second or third we've seen from him. But your comment was spot on, I think. It's the idea of no limitations and avoiding the irritations. And he does get on that note of, besides, my heart has love for a friend that's sending much love to my heart to defend my destiny to the top against anybody with a fart personality. So it kind of hits on the idea of a wingman or the idea of not letting any of those irritable qualities roll into his life by keeping notes of the multiple personalities on the road to that idea of reaching his plateau where he wants to go. So nicely done there, RLJ. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, up next we have A Salient Conversation, Mother Teresa and Me by Jaskaran. And he was nice enough to supply us with an audio. So here we go.
Today, our talking about emotions women, but with Mary, we realize who found the other heart is like a magnet that indicates we pass away. A hypothetical condition between her and a man of day condition. Sicilian condition, me. By my sense, I now may tender, use the eyes, mouth, the gown, organ nails. After moon is anger, in venom, getting right, involving me fade away. Very well. If there are people, you know time of them. When you have shed tears, you know we will know you have an unexpected gaze, rise over the earth, hop on everyone on the journey, as one day, you can see the magic with your glasses. Me, you are the devil. Where time shine is mad, tears over, talking as the sea falling it. Dog, if I gender is fighting, and he loses infant. As a gift from the world in the ashes. But is there, as we've gone, tomorrow has not yet come. We are hungry today. Let us begin, we are deep fast. Sunshine breaks with clouds, on dark and every day. And in our hope, the audience, waiting for the viewers to burst into the fire. Sooner than we put up hands, moon and stars in the sky, the world is full of it. I have begun with the I See the World Foundation, no desire, and night of wonderment, where there is no hatred, but unwritten love, unwritten tears, and happiness was yours.
Great read, Jaskaran. Thank you for the SoundCloud, which is very much appreciated. And Naomi, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, you know, this is a great tribute to, you know, a saintly woman, Mother Teresa, you know, who always found the brightness and the love in the midst of darkness and, you know, the just wonderful message of just hope and just love. And just to shine on, you know. And the last part, I too have a vision that I will free the world from depression, no more suicide, and unite the world as one where there's no hatred, but unconditional love, unceasing tears and happiness. What's yours? Yeah, you know, that makes you really very spiritual and very philosophical and very thought-provoking. You know, what can you ask for than more than that, you know, to free the world from all the hatred? So great, great, great by Jaskaran.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Pam, what about you?
Oh, this is beautiful. I really like the style that he chose to do it in, having being a back and forth conversation between himself and Mother Teresa. I like that he's peppered this poem with quotes from her to make it the part of the conversation. And to me, you know, Mother Teresa really was a beautiful and giving spirit. And I love the conversation tone of this. It's really a wonderful, heartfelt tribute to her and an excellent write on the need to be loving in a cruel world. And I like the way he opens it up and sets the stage with, "Today I will be talking about the most graceful woman, but a visionary who eulogized profound joy of the heart is like a magnet that indicates the path of life, a hypothetical conversation between her and a man of today's generation." Amazing write all the way through, but what especially hit hard was "the world is evil, where a child's smile is snatched, tears frozen, searching helplessly for an exit, drugged despite relentless fighting until he loses his innocence and surged to turn the world into ashes." The reminder that we must keep moving forward, we must find the light, we must be the light in this hateful, cruel world. So amazing write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. As always, Jack Grant always hits on those notes of spirituality and his journey and his questions that go along with it. The bite with him and Mother Teresa is a nice turn of phrase to walk at, as Naomi said, the thought of hope and what can you offer instead of taking, so to speak. So I like that note, and thank you, Jasker Man. That's wonderful. All right, Pam.
All right. Well, the next poem that we are going, not poem, sorry, the next song we're going to be playing is Sledgehammer, and here we go.
That's still one of the biggest songs that ever appeared on MTV back in the day.
Very cool.
Be careful what you wish for there, Robbie, because that song's all about sex. He drew on the innuendo of the blues music that he grew up with back in the day, the Sledgehammer, the Big Dipper, and the bumper cars. That's all sexual.
Oh, mm-hmm. Funny. I never realized that. That is cool to learn.
Hey, some great metaphors, eh?
Yeah, wow. Cool. Learn something new. Robbie said that he could do a 70 dance.
Especially when you get to the honeybee part and the fruit cage. You got to open up that fruit cage.
too funny. All right. Well, up next, we have No Hiding Place by Lockdown Larks. And it goes like this. Who needs a fist for a handshake? All can listen to what's on the street. An open heart gives, doesn't take if a mind can hear another's beat. Everyone can feel it beating, a place no ego lives inside. Respect it and keep repeating. We all bleed. There's no place to hide. I can be a rock for your heart. You can be a rock for me too. A place no one is ever apart. The place all are honest and true. Everyone can feel it beating. A place no ego lives inside. Respect it and keep repeating. We all bleed. There's no place to hide. All are indoctrinated from birth to break away, take some thinking. If we can see another's worth, can we stop the feeling sinking? Everyone can feel it beating, a place no ego lives inside. Respect it and keep repeating. We all bleed, there's no place to hide. All bleed, no place to hide. Believe in the heart inside. All bleed, no place to hide. Believe in the heart inside. So why not start, believe in the heart, end poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Naomi, what do you think?
Yeah. It's rare that you find a poem or a song, you know, where they say, but I get that a rock, you know, I have a rock for your heart. And it turns into like in this poem to be a positive thing to have that rock, so that you can let go of he talks about ego, leave that ego aside and love, although you have a rock for your heart. But I guess it goes along with the song. You know, there is a sledgehammer in that song, and, you know, sledgehammers are meant for destroying rocks. So, you know, I guess he used that well. But, you know, a great message in this song for sure. There's no place to hide. We all bleed. We all bleed. There's no place to hide. You know, he repeats that. And, we do all bleed. And we're all the same. We all bleed the same. And we all hurt the same. And, you know, so leave that giant, enormous ego aside. Smash it. And, you know, take that sledgehammer to it and, you know, just, you know, live with love. And I think that's what he's saying. So a beautiful write by Lockdown Lars, for sure.
All right. Thank you, Naomi. All right, Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Well, first of all, I don't know if I made my tone serious enough, because this was a beautiful, serious piece, but I was still on the verge of laughing, having just learned for the first time in my life that this song is about sex. So I was trying to transition from almost bursting out laughing to being into the tone of this rite, which I think is absolutely beautiful. And I would like to say a happy belated birthday to Lockdown Larch, who happens to be the same age as Peter Gabriel and wrote this poem on Lockdown Larch's birthday. So happy belated birthday.
Wow. Happy birthday.
Yep.
Cheers,
and absolutely. Yeah, such a wonderful rhyming poem. Beautiful, beautiful message, heartfelt lines on learning to let go of the ego and find that true belief in love. I can be a rock for your heart. You can be a rock for me too. A place no one is ever apart. The place all are honest and true. What a beautiful lines and very well done.
Thanks. That opening note. Who needs a fist for a handshake? All can listen to what's on the street. An open heart gives, doesn't take. If a mind can hear another speak. There's the general idea of where he's going. The idea of, he does hit on indoctrination and the idea of breaking out of that mold. So it's getting people to think for themselves, because then the heart becomes that solid rock that doesn't get busted in the meantime. And he's offering up that note of hand. I can be your rock. You can be mine. It's a note of support in that. And how if people were to walk that level of existence, we'd get past all the biting indifference and that fist that he hits on up front. Who needs a fist but a handshake? That the idea of, hey, no one really wants to fight. No one really should have to fight. The handshake holds more value than the fist does. So, nicely done, Larch. All right, Pam.
All right. Let's see what we have next. All right. Up next, we have Sledgehammer by Ima Rima and Naomi. Would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. Sledgehammer. My sledgehammer, you want to be. Want me to call you by that. Want me to call you that by name. That really does not impress me. Breakup is a sledgehammer's aim. Oh, you, I think I've had enough listening to your macho sound. Trying to show off all your stuff. Sledgehammer, you make my head pound. You do brag about all you do. Yeah, 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 for your power show. But I can do better than you. Nah, 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 I gotta say no. You must think I am a fool. You are not my kind of a tool. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
Oh, my gosh, this is great. Now I can totally picture that as a pickup line at a bar. Hey, baby. I want to be your sledgehammer. Is that a line you use on the ladies' rep?
Oh, yeah, that works every time. Hey, I want to be your sledgehammer. Give him big in a good time.
Oh, my God.
I want to be your sledgehammer. Bumper car, that's my name.
Come jump in my bumper car.
Yep. Oh, make a bump and drive. You got an electric phone.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. Too funny. But this is great all the way through. You know, as always, Ima Rima, she has such a wonderful sense of humor. It just... cracks me up, is absolutely delightful and fun. But what I particularly like is listening to your macho sound, trying to show off all your stuff. Sledgehammer, you make my head pound. And then those end lines, you must think that I am a fool. You are not my kind of tool. I love the double entendre of you are not my kind of a tool. Great write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. All right, Naomi, bring it on down.
Oh, yeah, I loved reading this. You know, it just had that tone. Oh, my gracious, you know, like F off. I don't want to have anything to you do with you. Oh, my gracious. You know, just the lines, listening to your macho sound, trying to show off all your stuff. Sledgehammer, you make my head pound. You do drag about all you do. I can just imagine this guy, you know, because I've known so many like this. Oh, my gracious, that, you know, just cross you anywhere, you know, if you're out jogging or just looking at your behind or whatever, you know, and they just think they're so cool. I just went with this poem. It's so great, and it's so empowering. It has an empowering feeling to this whole right. So bravo, I'm a rhymer. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Naomi. Yeah, Ima gets the full meaning behind the song and takes that sledgehammer to her side as that note of crushing the opposition with the stupidity offered up. Yeah, you can call me that sledgehammer, but the sledgehammer is a breakup, age, the macho sound, showing off all of your stuff, makes my head pound. And that thought, you do brag about all you do. Yeah, for a power show. A full note of taking a counterintuitive, taking that song and just taking her sledgehammer to it and just saying, hey, you are not my kind of tool. There is quite a nice, funny note in that end line. So thank you, Ima. All right, Pam, what we got next?
Up next we have, I was so caught up in laughing at that stuff. Oh, my gosh. I forgot to grab the next poem. Let me go ahead and do that. And all right. Up next, we have Garden Gloves by Robert J. Teith, or Tice, I'm sorry. And go ahead and give that a read for us, Rex.
Garden Gloves by Robert J. Tice. Between the branches, brush, and burrs, then fallen cones beside the pine, you catch and scratch your hands again. Then manicured nails now glazed with dirt from plucking stones and pressing bones, so next spring we'll find hyacinths. Who says it needs to be this way? You have me here, I could be more. I could become your garden gloves, defending you from thorns and bark, the harshness of the sharp things hid behind these leaves and teeming twigs. I'll gladly bear each scrape and pain and stings and shocks from bees and rocks and everything fierce autumn slings. Then all the coarseness of this earth, if you would bring your hands toward me and let me shield you lovingly. And Paul. All right, Pam. No, Naomi, you kick us off, please.
Oh, yeah, this is beautiful. You know how to shield a loved one, you know, becoming their garden gloves. I never heard that one before, but it's done so tastefully and so gracefully in this poem. You know, I could become your garden gloves, defending you from thorns and bark, the harshness of the sharp things hid behind these leaves and tweening twigs. You know, what a wonderful extended metaphor for, you know, just defending the person that you love against all that's out there that can be dark and painful and you know, whatever, bite you or scrape you or prick you or, you know, just beautifully done and with brilliant imagery in each line. You know, I'd gladly bear each scrape and pain, the stings and shocks from bees and rocks. And, you know, the rhyme and the flow of it is just beautiful as well. So bravo, Robert J. Tice. Very wonderfully done indeed.
Thank you, Naomi. Pam?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. And I like what Naomi had to say about the metaphor of the garden glove being something and someone to protect and shield. I also thought just the extended metaphor of gardening was so beautiful because, you know, love is like that, a good garden. You know, you tend to it, you take care of it, you know, on a daily basis, and you work together side by side in order to cultivate it, in order to grow something beautiful. This has such wonderful imagery, such beautiful heartfelt lines on working together side by side, on being there to love and protect one another. I really like this all the way through, but especially who says it needs to be this way? You have me here. I could be more. I could become your garden gloves, defending you from thorns and bark, the harshness of the sharp things hid behind these leaves and teeming twigs. Wonderful lines on wanting to be there for somebody, wanting to be more for them than what you already are. Very well done.
Thank you, Pam. There's a different note to the first stanza as opposed to the second and third. The first one offers up that note of her doing all that, and you catch and scratch your hands again. Their manicured nails are glazed with dirt from plucking stones and pressing bulbs. So next spring we'll find hyacinth. And then the question, who says it needs to be this way? You have me here, I could be more. I could become your garden gloves. So there's that, as you put it, there is that note to partnership and splitting the angle. You can keep your hands and your manicured nails in shape to do other things. I can do this angle. So it is that sharing of responsibilities and deference to the other one when it comes to certain angles. So, yes, nicely done there, Robert. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right, and next we have the song Red Rain.
coming down all over me. I'm bathing in red rain, coming down. Red rain is coming down. Red rain is coming down all over me. I'm begging you.
What have we got for Red Rain?
All right. Well, before we move on to the next poem, I'd like to welcome Robbie to the show. Welcome, Robbie. Glad you could join us.
Hello. The sledgehammer has arrived.
Oh, good Lord.
Hi, Robbie.
I was waiting the whole call to say that.
He called himself the sledgehammer and not the jackhammer. He likes to take it nice and slow. all right. Well, up next we have There Where I Belong in My Solitude by Hasp. The gaze of his brown eyes punched me into the stomach, his mouth in a sneer like a cat, seconds before knocking over a bowl of milk. Words echo. Their meaning penetrates my brain the same as cold cream for hot black coffee. And then a burst of eruption in the chest, burned my pulsing heart to ashes. The sky weeps with red drops. A shadow settles down my face, and the dream dies inside me with a silent wail, tick-tock, drip-drop, a silent evening. Everything stops as if you could hear the breath of God. Here I match in my solitude. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Robbie, since you just came inside, why don't you tell us what you think?
This poem based on the song has a unique sort of temporality to it. I find feels like almost like the passage of time is being told or being conveyed through all these little subtle things that are happening, like words echo. A burst of eruption from the chest, and then when the sky weeps with red drops, and of course the tick-tock, drip drops. It's like the time's passed. It feels like the time's passing by moment to moment, like it would in solitude, where you know every moment is a thought. And so I really like the way it, because it reads like that to me. It really pulls you in. It really does make you feel like you're in that moment of solitude, because, you know, every detail of every moment is being told. So I really enjoyed it that way. And, overall, I felt it reflected the mood of what we were just listening to really well.
Excellent. Thank you, Robbie. Naomi, how about you?
Naomi had to go because her daughter is calling.
All right. Well, that's you then.
Okie dokie, Smokey. This has such amazing imagery and metaphors, powerful lines on the despair of life and the pain in the heart after love is taken away. It kind of makes me think along the lines of emotional abuse, and how you fall for the person that you think they are, and then the cold, cruel reality comes sinking in. I really like a burst of eruption in the chest burned my pulsing heart to ashes. The sky weeps with red drops. A shadow settles down my face, and the dream dies inside me with a silent wail. Amazing lines and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. Yeah, that tick-tock drip drop, as Robbie said, it's poignant because it offers up that singularity where you can hear each drop in the moment or each single tick of the second on the clock itself. It's like time's almost standing still to the point where everything is happening in a singular motion all at once. And it's brought out to the point. It's melancholy, yes, and it does hark to the loneliness. And as that opening stanza does offer up that note of something hard, the gaze's brown eyes punched me into the stomach, his mouth in a sneer like a cat, seconds before knocking over a bowl of milk. Words echo. Their meaning penetrates my brain, the same as cold cream for hot black coffee. That note, that real hard note there, cold cream, it changes not just the flavor, but also the heat in the moment. Really nicely done there, Hats. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Up next, we have No Refrain by Liquid Mind Forever. And Rex, will you give that one a read for us, please?
I knew I was getting it. No Refrain
of
by
course.
Liquid Mind Forever. Please don't send me flowers. No more flowers for the hours of pain. Please don't send me flowers for the stain, the agonizing strain. No, no, don't try to gain some shade or bower for those misbegotten hours when you lied and tried to get a foothold in the door. No more, no more, no refrain. We'll leave you standing in the rain, in pain, in agonizing pain. I will, what gain? To aggrandize the downpour or the stain, it won't help you to regain. No, no gain, no refrain. I'll walk the other way without regret. Don't think I'll pay off your debt. Or perhaps forget the set and match we played, the hand you waved to save your bet you let. Your thoughtless greed exceed your worth. I know I'm not the first. I know you'll curse and howl and try to finagle. I won't haggle in your tangled, mangy mangle of what's worse. Don't send. Please don't send me flowers. No more flowers for the hours of pain, please. Don't send me flowers for the stain, the agonizing strain. No, no, don't try to gain a foothold in the door. No more, no more, no refrain. And when the razzle-dazzle dries and fades, you'll try to raise the bidding up the trade. You're a shade of Marquis de Sade, not quite his grade. Nonetheless, oblige me, not twice besought, I've not forgot. Tempest and the storm is fraught with ill, and a pox of tempest future in the school of hard knocks. But I'll love you till the fill and will of you is nil, and the tremors and the sieges mock and rock tick-tocks. Please, please don't send me flowers, no more flowers for the hours and the pain. Please don't send me flowers for the stain, the agonizing strain. No, no, don't try to gain a foothold in the door. No more, no more, no refrain. Please. Please don't send me flowers, no more flowers for the hours and the pain. Please don't send me flowers for the stain, the agonizing strain. No, no, don't try to gain a foothold in the door, no more, no more, no refrain. And poem. All right, Pam.
All right. You see how you are, Rex? I spend all that time and money sending you flowers, and all you do is whine about it. Jeez. You're so ungrateful.
You don't send me flowers anymore.
No, I thought that was a wonderful read. And this was such a great write by Liquid Mind Forever. Wonderful use of rhyme and repetition that gave it a great lyrical quality. I have to say I really like the use of the word bower. You don't see that word enough, you know, the idea of, you know, the bower that the the flowers climb up of. I thought that was really cool. Just amazing, emotionally charged lines on knowing nothing offered will fix the pain given. You know, here's somebody who basically, they make these empty promises. They say they will no longer hurt you. And, you know, they give you gifts. They give you empty words, but none of it means anything anymore. So you get to the point where the flowers and all the gestures don't mean anything. You're ready to turn your back on the whole situation. You're ready to walk away because you know that you have to do what's best for you. Amazing right all the way through, but I especially like your thoughtless greed exceeds your words. I know I'm not the first. I know you'll curse and howl and try to finagle. I won't haggle in your tangled, mangy mangle of what's worse. You know, amazing right and very well done.
All right. Thank you, Dan. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, the poem has that tone of being very strong in that refusal to come back to someone who keeps saying like, oh yeah, you know, things will be different. The words emotional black male come to my mind, but not quite. It feels like something a little more subtle or different than that. But it's kind of like what they're like. You know, it's not that they're consciously doing it almost, but maybe I'm kind of misreading it or projecting something myself. But yeah, there's definitely that strong feeling that the person's in a situation where they just don't want to stick around anymore, and they're saying that they won't. But what I especially pick up is the emphasis on they're saying why. Like they're saying that I know if I come back, things are going to be the same, and you know, it's just going to be all the empty promises. You're going to act nice for a while, but then it's not going to hold out. And I like the last stanza where it says, "Please, please, please, don't send me flowers, no more flowers." And it's just that, you know, that reprieve of tiredness of when someone keeps trying to bait you back to it, you know. And it's hollow because it's for all, you know, it's flowers for the hours and the pain. So it's like, you know, you want to bring me back into this, but for what? So that you can, be bad to me again. So it was very powerful in that.
It's kind of like gaslighting.
Yeah. Gaslighting as opposed to, that's the word. Gaslighting as opposed to blackmail. There is a difference there.
Actually, you're hitting on both ends.
Conscious.
It is. Yeah, she's waking up to the gaslighting. It's like taking off those rose-colored glasses and seeing the reality. But he's still working with the flowers, chocolates, and all that stuff. That's kind of an emotional blackmail to get his foot back in the door, which she's exemplifying. But she hits on that note here. Who will leave you standing in the rain, in pain and agonizing pain? I will. What gain? To aggrandize the downpour or the stain, it won't help you to regain. No. No gain, no refrain. Just hit on that note of, I've been there, done that. It's old hat, so to speak, and I can't do that anymore. So you guys are right. You hit on it, Bobby, on both ends. So thank you very much.
All right, Pam.
Back on you.
All right. Well, we got 20 minutes and 6 poems. Did you want to skip the rest of the song?
Yeah, I'd like to get these in.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of figuring.
It's
okay.
Been that long.
I'll just mention what songs they're inspired by as I put them up.
All right.
So the next song or the next poem that we have is inspired by Brightside, and that is No Vacancies by Eric Svensson. And go ahead, please, Robbie, and give that a read for us.
Okay, here we go. I was just checking if there was there's no sound clatter or anything. No vacancies. Little brittle spittle drops, frosty crystal spots expire, tangerine sunset shimmers, freckled face crinkle cuts delights. Determined toes dig down, auger deeper into bone bleached sand. Low tide lullaby panders. Clover tails, Moulin Rouge. Dizzy Gillespie hermit crabs have her in stitches. Frisky, fresh giggles, GNT approaches dusk. Musky seaweed spreads a tablecloth. From here to eternity comes to mind. Acoustic joy fizzles, popcorn humor banters. Further offshore, mesmerized, white cap, lipizzaners canter closer. Infused by her enthusiasm, seagulls carousal above. Crew-cut tufts of dune grass stand at attention. Invention is better than prevention cure. Champagne corks pop mind-wise. Down under, uptown Aussie windsurfer gal regales restricted thought. Stuff coming out, stuff going in. We're just part of everything. No vacancies. Reprisal. Plaintive didgeridoo wind picks up. Lipizzaners neigh close by. In a flash, she's up and away. Cubistic windsurfer imprints haloed by tangerine sunset glimmer. Slim chance. Grabbed, nabbed. No vacancies. And that is No Vacancies.
Great read, Robbie. Thank you very much. Pam, kick it off, please.
Oh, this is absolutely a delight. I love the imagery all the way through. It makes me think of the song Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid. It's just that jazzy and fun. Amazing imagery and metaphors, really clever lines on nature at the beach and the dances that dances to the music of sand and surf. I like to have reference to the lipizzaners. I actually got to see the lipizzaner horses perform once, and it was really clever and amazing. And I really like this all the way through, but my favorite part is low tide lullaby panders, clover tails, Moulin Rouge, Dizzy Gillespie, hermit crabs have in her in stitches. Fun lines and very well done.
All right, thank you, Pam. Robbie, you got to read it. What do you think?
Well, my focus was on invention is better than prevention cure, especially that line, but that whole stanza where the rest of it goes champagne corks, pop mind wise, down under, uptown Aussie windsurfer gets, regales restricted thought. And with invention is better than prevention cure, it's that idea sort of kind of like coming up with a solution to a problem before it comes up almost, or kind of like where you're inventing something that is of a benefit, like whether it's like a literal thing or like a mental thing, like a situation, so that you know, you don't have to get to the point where you're in a situation that you're trying to figure out what the cure to the situation is. I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but it's kind of like, I guess a good way to put it is like where you're trying to create a situation for yourself where you're in a good place and you don't have to figure out how to get out of a bad place. Or out of a bad situation, because it's not going to happen because you maneuvered yourself initially into a better position.
I like that. Thank you, Robbie. I'm going to go up a little bit. Hits on a number of things that are really good. Low tide lullaby pandas, clover tails, Moulin Rouge, Dizzy Gillespie, Herbert Grant, having the current stitches, frisky, fresh giggles, G&T approaching dusk, musky seaweed spreads a tablecloth, from here to eternity comes to mind. That's a wonderful stanza for all it offers up. And that stanza you wrote, what comes out beneath it also hits on a great thought. Stuff coming out, stuff going in, we're just a part of everything, no vacancies. The idea of everything is connected. And I also like that dropping in the plankton didgeridoo wind picks up, lifters on his neck close by, in a flash, she's up and away. That note of waiting, knowing, and seeing the perfect waves coming in, and all of a sudden she's out there on the waves, hitting the surf and getting the best of everything in the moment, because she has done it. Cubistic wind circle imprint, halo by Tangerine Sunset Glimmer. Slim chance, grab nag, no vacancies. The idea of everything in the moment with a nice touch. So, nicely done, Eric. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Well, up next we have Sky Blue Eyes by Betty Page, and we have a recording for that.
Sky blue eyes, gazing in your eyes, sweetest blue reflects dark clouds, electrifying, dancing in starlight, embracing all your rainbows, neon desires. Gazing in your eyes, sweetest blue reflects dark clouds, electrifying, kissing neath full moons, watching flowers as they bloom, melodically sweet. Gazing in your eyes, sweetest blue reflects dark clouds, electrifying. Kissing neath full moons, watching flowers as they bloom, melodically sweet. Gazing in your eyes, sweetest blue reflects dark clouds, electrifying. Dancing in starlight, embracing all your rainbows, neon desires. Let me fly real high, never come down though, no, no. Come, let's dream lucid, spinning, twirling kiss, spiraling within your lips. I am your goddess. End poem.
Great read, Betty. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Pam, start with you.
All right, I have to say this is the kind of poem that makes the heart go pitter-patter and just brings out the sighs. I mean, wonderful imagery and metaphor, beautiful, romantic, and sensual, right, on love explored in glances and kisses. I really love those end lines. But I also really like kissing neath full moons, watching flowers as they bloom, melodically sweet. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, this follows a trend that I've been seeing tonight, a couple of trends that I've been enjoying with a lot of the poems tonight. The first one is how there's a bit of a refrain sort of structure, like there's, you know, consistently see you have kissing neath full moons, gazing in your eyes. I especially like that because these days I'm challenging myself to write a song, and that part of that is, you know, writing a refrain. A poetic friend has challenged me to do that, to write a song for 2024, to like turn one of my own songs, poems into a song. And also the second thing that I noticed that is part of a general trend tonight that I enjoy is that the imagery it's beautiful imagery here, but the imagery is more unique, and it's unique towards something that could be done in a way that's been done a lot. Like, you know, she's focusing on the eyes, but the eyes don't, the imagery that she has for the eyes is more unique and refreshing. There's a lot of things in love poetry that depend a lot, but they can be done in a way that's being heard quite a bit. So I enjoyed that. And her recite was just like, huh. It just made me sigh. The recite was just amazing. It is so, it's just so relaxing and enjoyable to listen to. I loved it.
Nice. Thank you, Robbie.
Yeah.
I think there's one line in here that really sets the tone. Sweetest blue reflects dark clouds. And there's your double thought, the transition that works through the whole piece. Sweetest blue, his eyes, reflects dark clouds, her eyes. Yes, as it progresses, she sees more because he doesn't see the dark clouds. He sees the other side and what is offered. Then you get the kiss on neutral moons. Then you get dancing in starlight. Let me fly real high. I am your goddess. That note of what is reflected in his eyes, she sees, but what is seen in her eyes, he doesn't see the dark clouds. So therefore, it flows nicely and offers up a different bend to the angle drawn on. So nicely done, Betty.
All right. And just to let you know, we might end up going a few minutes over on the show, so stick with us, Robbie. With that being said, we have Capturing the Rhythm Tightly by Patty Mike. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Capturing the Rhythm Tightly by Patty Mike. Captured by my looking glass, a window turned outward on me. The red dust fails, showering red, tumbling down. Standing, my shadow with a spear. Let's try that again. Standing, my shadow with his spear, firm, tightly in hand, burning vigilance, unflinching, unwavering resolve upon his rock, melting, gazing about. A blood offering gathered from the masses littered about, up onto the Sinai's mount rises, ripping, tearing to shreds, stealing the steel from our spears, our spines, smashing cameras and radios to pieces, voices turned inside out, the time dies within my broken watch. Submission's absolution, and now the rhythm has control of, is inside, digging, burrowing, festering, killing the death. Trust dies in candy-coated doses. She has all of me. And Robbie, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh, a couple of parts had really grabbed my attention. Submission's absolution. Kind of the idea of when you submit to a situation, like there's submission that can be negative, but there can be a liberating submission where, you know, it's kind of like, you know, knowing what you can change and knowing what you can't. And I feel like that's what that's alluding to. And, you know, because now the rhythm has control inside of him and it's killing the death. So it sounds like it's kind of like he's releasing anything in the situation that he can't change and just let the situation be as it be. And I also enjoyed stealing the steel from our spine, smashing cameras and radios to pieces, voices turned down inside out, the time dies with my broken watch. And it's kind of like, again, that liberation from time and from the situation where you're, when I think about cameras and radios, that's surveillance equipment and capturing equipment. So it's kind of that idea, again, of like where you're not letting yourself get framed in the moment. And, you know, you're not like recording everything in your mind ad nauseum, so to speak. So, and this is one of those poems, though, where I would want to read it a couple more times to tease out the rest of the meaning for myself and to see if what my thoughts on what I read would change or not, because I have the feeling that a couple of these stanzas, especially those last two that I was focused on, that if I reread them, I might like change what my thoughts are on what it's trying to express.
Excellent. I like that. Nice, Robbie. Thank you. Pam?
Yeah, I really liked Robbie's observations on this poem. I thought this was a great write. I love the whole, like, Alice in Wonderland, Old Testament, burning bush, Bible vibe that it kind of blends together. And at first glance, weeks ago, like over a month ago, I thought it had hard-hitting lines, amazing imagery and metaphors that spoke to me on becoming the guardian of love and life. But then on second glance, I saw something more in it, especially in that third stanza, blood offering gathered from the masses littered about. I saw the idea of being the scapegoat, the proverbial sacrifice for the masses that just have to have their bloodletting. Amazing write and very well done.
Yeah, that note, the blood offering, you could look at as Moses on the summit, so to speak, or you could run into the thought of Christ on the cross, or you could run into a number of thoughts. But I did like what Robbie had to say about smashing cameras and radios to pieces, voice eternity. That note of letting go of the note of having to be watched all the time and seen all the time, instead of actually gathering into such a resolve as to stand firm in belief, as opposed to having it torn to shreds and offered up in tidbits that don't reflect the truth of what is really happening. So I'm not... Nicely done there, Patty Mike. Thank you. All right, Pam, where do you want to go now?
All right. And just a reminder to anybody listening, we will be going off the air in about 2 or 3 minutes. But if we go off the air, you'll still be greeting and commenting, and you'll be able to hear your poem read and commented on the recorded show. So with that being said, we have, oh, come on, don't be slow now. This is not the time to be slow. Of course. Yes. Technology always thinks it's time to be slow when you have 2 minutes left in a show. I promise eventually the poem will come up. Just, give us a moment here. You know, I don't know if anybody would like to hum the Jeopardy theme song or anything. Go for it. Oh, come on. Well, when it shows up, we're going to have Jealousy Comes Out of Me Like a Cobra's Tongue by Pink Fairy 5. And, come on. Freaking do.
Yeah, I've refreshed a couple of times and, yeah.
Well, yeah, it hasn't posted yet. There's no point in you refreshing.
Yeah.
It's up.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just put it there.
I actually had it posted. It was just, not doing anything on my end. All right. Okay, well, go ahead and give that a read, Robbie.
Okay. So this is Jealousy Comes Out of Me Like a Cobra's Tongue. Love that title. I am your puppet. You have no idea what I will do to keep you happy. Then you do something that hurts me, and jealousy comes out of me like a cobra's tongue. Unleashed, she begins winding around the rat, itching to kill and eat it. My animalistic primal self scares even me when... You have no one to blame but yourself. And that is Jealousy Comes Out of Me Like a Cobra's Tongue, based on Peter Gabriel's Shock the Monkey.
Great read, Robbie. Thank you very much. Has it popped up on you yet, Pam?
It has not. because my Kindle Fire or my internet is acting up. But I did
it
before. I was going to assign this one to myself because anybody who knows me knows jealousy is something I struggle with very much, and I can have a tongue like a cobra and a bite like a crocodile if I'm pissed off. I found this a particularly raw, straightforward write about how the tongue can be a very sharp and brutal instrument, especially when strong emotions like jealousy is manipulating it. So amazing write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Robbie, you got to read it. How about you?
Oh, sometimes something comes up and bam, instantly it reminds you of one thing so strong. And for me, it reminds me of the sentiment, like where it says, then you do something that hurts me and, you know, the tables are turned here, right? And I have a musical friend who did a composition, and one of them, it's like a 1950s, it was like a really older thing, and in it basically talks about someone who has like an infantile sort of mindset and that, and it parallels it perfectly. He says, you know, oh, when he does a joke, he's the one who laughs hardest, but when the joke's on him, oh, look out. And it's a very playful, you know, like you hear these whistles and everything in the background of that track. Oh my gosh, that somewhere reminds me of that. In this one, it's an even more visceral and more like nasty version of that. But both, you know, in both circumstances, it's that idea of, you know, well, yeah, I can be the jerk or I can be the jokester. I can be, you know, whatever I want to be or whatever. But you know, if it happens to me, oh, look out, world. And just as like Pam struggles with jealousy a lot, like she was saying, for me, I hate that turnabout in people. I hate when people have that quality where, you know, they play a mean-spirited joke or, you know, they're wicked with their tongue or something. But, you know, you do the same thing to them, and it's like the world's about to end. Ooh, don't even get me started on that. So.
So
I appreciate that poem. I appreciate this poem very much because I just do not like that at all. And that spoke on that very well.
Yeah, that's a great thought on this. Wonderful comment there, Robbie. I like how she separated this. That first, I am your puppet. You have no idea what I will do to keep you happy. And then you do something that hurts me. And that turn, that switch being lit. For those last six lines, it's almost a forewarning, so to speak. Hey, I can be the greatest thing in your life, but you bite me the wrong way, you're going to pay heavily for it, and it'll be your undoing. So be careful how you tread. Walk on eggshells. Nicely done, Pink. Thank you. I see your Kindle come back to life.
Yes. Finally, just in time. All right. This is Artificial Intelligence by Guilty. Am I the dream created of your science fantasy, an algorithm planned mockery, every line programmed for me? Am I the dream, just a schoolboy progeny, dissected frog in biology, digital bytes in a gigabyte economy? Am I the dream? Computer simulation technology, warm-blooded flesh, what do you make of me? Pump and prime, lactose androgyny, is anything real? Please, is anything real? Head is spinning, lobotomy, check the real astrology, busted tube, flickering lights, does not compute, android fights. Are you human? A mockery. False relations, programmed to be. 2.5 children, we've learned to breed. computations, the dictomy, is anything real? Tell me, is anything real? Stimulation is the economy. Tibulation is the progeny. The new religion is the connectivity. Make sure you are plugged in. Now the fun begins. Individual number 9, I forgot all the times. I believed my life was mine. The drone overhead flies. Another bee in the hive. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you. Wow, this is definitely a bison. What's on the horizon? What do you think, Robbie?
Well, that's the thing is I thought at first it was, you know, like it says artificial intelligence, and I thought it was going to focus just on like artificial intelligence in and of itself and kind of the ideas of, you know, is the universe simulated? Is it not simulated? And there is that, but it feels to me like it also extending that metaphor to anything else that can be like a false reality or other things that could be programmed so much into us, like false relations programmed to be 2.5 children. So kind of that idea of like, you know, if you don't have 2.5 children, if you don't fall in the average, you're not really a human. You're not really part of the society. And also stimulation is the economy, tibulation is the progeny. So kind of like stimulation is the economy is like, you know, when they talk about, well, yeah, trickle down economics. Yeah, that works. I was just talking about that with my brother recently. And just, you know, the idea of like, do all of these economic models, like they'll say, oh yeah, millionaires are great for the economy and all that. That, you know, do that exaggerating all those kind of things. And so, yeah, it speaks to me of how anything, it starts off with artificial intelligence and simulation, but to me it seems to extend that metaphor towards all the things in life that can be or possibly are turned into some sort of artificial reality or artifice in the broadest senses of the word.
Nice. Thank you, Robbie. Pam, you got to read it?
Yeah, this has such brilliant, thought-provoking lines, amazing imagery and metaphors, really hard-hitting. I like the dystopian tone and how it speaks on the downfalls of trying to obtain a perfect society and what it feels like, you know, when the artificial intelligence takes over the world and of humanity. You know, great lines all the way through, but I like how this speaks on the idea of, you know, being sucked in by social media, by computers, by television. And I really like especially Pump and Prime, lactose androgyny, is anything real? Please, is anything real? Head is spinning, lobotomy. You know, we just call for the teeth they offer us and, you know, don't look for anything for ourselves. So amazing write and very well done.
The question, am I the dream, is the note to where this is going, that offering note of are we in the matrix now? And are we just being programmed day by day, which is a reality? And yes, we do get programmed. The idea is to think outside that box. And the thought on the back end of this with the getting plugged in, which is coming. Some people are already going that route. And being plugged in, you got a question. How much more do you get programmed if you're plugged in? And does that quantify as to reality being now we really are in the matrix? Because you hit on that bite on the bottom end. Another bee in the high, that thought to Star Trek, The Next Generation back in the day, the Borg, the hive mentality being linked in, so to speak. Matrix coming. Hey, and it does hit on the idea of where movies had offered up that note of what will be coming, Matrix back in the day, plus a whole slew of other movies offering up that which comes. I just like the thought to pandemics. And they put them out, and all of a sudden, yeah, we get a little bite for that. And this kind of hits on the same angle of, hey, they're just feeding us what they're going to do to us in the future.
Very cool.
All right, Pam.
I like that. I have a question. Is the poem or
what?
Is the song Shock the Monkey about sex? Because I feel like if any song would be about sex, it would be called one Shock the Monkey.
No, the item of Shock the Monkey is, what the hell was that? It's putting something in that blows the mentality in the moment. You shock somebody back into a driven thought as opposed to being into something that they rely upon. Like a shock to the system.
Uh-huh. Well, there you go. There
the
you go.
The monkey reference. The monkey reference is just throughout the thought of apes to humanity.
Yeah, I kind of figured. great info there, Rex. Well, and that brings us to our last poem of the night, which is Shock the Monkey by Lawrence67. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
Shock the Monkey by Lawrence67. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie, Alfie.
Hey, Nigel, what are you doing with that lightning rod?
It's not a lightning rod, Alfie. It's a cattle prod. It's a real shocker.
Are you going to shock, Nigel?
I'm going to shock that damn monkey.
What monkey, Nigel?
Some monkey that L67 brought in. He's in the bathroom spanking it right now. I'm going to give him a big shock when he comes out. That'll teach him, damn monkey. And in poem. All right, ma'am.
My gosh. I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh, that ending cracks me up. Some monkey that L67 brought in. He's in the bathroom spanking it right now. I'm going to give him a big shock when he comes out. That'll teach him, damn monkey. But great fun all the way through. As always, Rex, it is just so much fun to listen to you read in the voices of Alfie and Nigel. This one cracked me up. Totally fun. Great sense of humor. And very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Robbie, how about you?
Well, it makes me laugh that we've been circling around all these innuendos and everything that tonight, like jackhammers, sledgehammers, and then we end up with these cattle prods, and it just comes out, yeah, spanking the monkey, yep, that's what it ends up as. It's just this, like, it's funny when, like, a poem is just so direct, just so direct, laying it out there, and it has those, and just, like, with the images it uses, it, you know, it's not a lightning rod, Alfie, it's a cattle prod, it's a real shocker, and just, when it's just, it's fun and funny when something's just so blunt and out there, you know, yeah, this is one of those poems where you're starting to read and, like, oh, I wasn't expecting that, but in a good way, it's funny.
You're right. It is. Lawrence brings these to the table with his cats, Nigel and Alfie, and offers up some other characters here and there. So these are always funny. It's always, I have a great time just playing with the voices just to have some fun with it. And he's thinking of making an audio book now of his Nigel and the Fat Cat Boy, Fat Cat Book Crew. So that should be a blast, too, if he can get it together. And he's asked me to help, so.
Oh, very cool.
That might be
cool.
Funny down the road.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. Awesome. And great show tonight, Rex.
Yes. Thank you, Pam. Great show. Robbie,
Naomi, thank you for coming on board to help us read and comment. That was a blast. Had a great time. And we shall do this next week because we've got Echo and the Bunnymen, Crocodile, next week. So that should be a howl as well. The songs on that are really good. So we'll be glad to see you all next week, same time, same channel. And have a good night, everybody. Thank you very much.
Good night.